Well, morning, church. Now that you've mentioned it, the one thing I remember him saying, I said something along the lines of, thank you, Richard, something along the lines of, you know, we've been married 20 years, and he's like 19. And he's like 19 long years. And that was the end of the conversation for me. That was it. So how is everyone? Good? Yeah? So I'm Pastor Nami, for anyone who doesn't know me. I think I know most people here. We're continuing our series on relationships. So this is the last week, third and last week. Who's enjoyed the series? It's been interesting. We've had a lot of positive feedback. Positive in the sense that it's a subject that people want discussed in church. So that's been good. So next year, maybe we'll make it longer than 3 weeks. So we're building healthy relationships. So I just want to give a recap from last week. We talked about the fact that relationships are complicated. We looked at the life of the Apostle Paul and his relationship with Barnabas and how they ended up separating, going their separate ways, despite the great work that they had done together, the work of the gospel. And sometimes it's not possible to live at peace, because Paul had said that, you know, as far as it's within your power or your ability, you should live at peace with everyone. And we found that sometimes it's not possible because there are matters of conviction, and when you don't want to compromise, you end up not having peace with someone. We talked about forgiveness and how forgiveness is a journey, and that forgiving someone doesn't mean you have to remain in an unhealthy or unsafe relationship, because sometimes people confuse forgiveness with staying in an unhealthy relationship. So they're not the same thing. We talked about conflict is inevitable, but you have to use your voice to have the necessary conversations, and you have to be honest in your conversations, and you have to understand that trust is crucial in a relationship. We talked about relationships being seasonal and that they evolve. So some people who are in your life now will not be in your life 10 years from now, and some people who were in your life 10 years ago are not in your life now, because relationships are seasonal and they evolve. And lastly, we talked about the work of the gospel must go on. And we saw that in the life of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, that despite this big argument that they had, they went their separate ways, but the work of the gospel continued. So today I want to focus on how, in order to maintain healthy relationships, God wants us to deal with rivalry in our relationships, especially where issues remain unresolved. You see, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas resolved their sharp disagreement by going their separate ways. That's how they sorted it out. And for many years, that conflict remained unresolved. So we're looking at the subject of that. If you're taking notes, my title is Unresolved. So when we look at this idea of issues being unresolved, we're talking about pending issues. Issues not being settled because of a rivalry. You know, when I say rivalry, I can't even say the word, I think of sporting teams. I don't know much about sporting teams here, but here and there I've heard words like Collingwood, I've heard of Fremantle Dockers. What are the other ones? I can't remember. But the Essendon, okay. What was the other one? West Coast Eagles. Okay, so when I think of rivalry, that's what comes to mind. Right, so a rivalry is the state of two people or groups engaging in a lasting competitive relationship where they have this against each other spirit. But we also know of sibling rivalry, right? Who's had that? Who's got that happening now with their children? Sibling rivalry, right? It's a common thing. But who knows, you can also have sibling rivalry in the church. Because the people that you're sitting next to are your brothers and sisters, right? So in the Christian faith, sibling rivalry is that competition and that jealousy that exists in the church between brothers and sisters in the Lord. It exists. And I believe that we all have some rivalry issues. Or if we don't now, we have had in the past. If we haven't had them in the past, we will have them in the future. And the thing is, you don't actually have to go to someone and say, Dennis, I am your rival. You don't have to actually do that. There are certain things that happen that signify that there is a rivalry. And what might that look like? Withholding praise. Engaging in gossip. Even in prayer. Who knows you can gossip through prayer? Lying on someone. Planting seeds of mistrust. You just mention something to someone. Complaining without confronting directly. Because sometimes we complain, but we don't tell the person we're complaining about. We tell somebody else. And then they go tell somebody else. And then it spreads, right? And then there's undermining, especially undermining of leadership. And then there's the backbiting. All these things are signs that there's a rivalry. It's not in your face, but it's there. There's undertones. And I think undertones are worse than when you do it directly. So think about this for yourself. Have you spoken about a fellow Christian or somebody else behind their back lately or ever? We want to look at the book of Genesis because in there we see this, we come across this relationship where jealousy rears its ugly head. And there's that highlighting of sibling rivalry. I'm reading from Genesis 4, verse 1 to 16. It's a long one, but it's all important. It says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land. I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So what we've got here is two brothers where the issue remains unresolved. Despite both of them working hard for their offering, Cain gave what was considered an acceptable offering, and Abel gave what is considered an unacceptable offering. So what was the difference? I don't think God preferred pig on a spit over a fruit platter. I don't think that was the issue. So what was the story with the offering? You see, these brothers communicated different messages to God through their offerings. One was a work of the flesh. That's Cain. The end product of his sweat. One was devotion of all he had. The difference was that Abel gave fat portions and firstborn of his flock. Excuse me if you're a vegetarian here, but if you're a meat eater, You know that fat is the best part of the meat. That's where the flavor is, right? If you're a meat eater, if you're vegetarian, you might not appreciate what I'm saying. So that's where the flavor is. And that's what Abel did. He gave the fat portions. That word fat portions, you know, we live in a society where fat is not really looked upon positively, right? Everybody's trying to lose fat. But in these biblical times, this, or even now, fat really, when we talk about fat portions, we're talking about something good, something positive, something great. And that was the difference. But the other thing was that Cain, I don't think Cain fully understood or appreciated his position in human history. You see, Cain was the firstborn human being. His parents were created. He was born. He was the firstborn human being. And one thing we know about firstborns is that they set the pace, right? Have we got any firstborns here? Yeah, in your family, there's something about being a firstborn and the expectation to set the pace, expectation to lead the way, to be a trailblazer. I don't think Cain appreciated that. As a firstborn, he had to set the pace of responsibility and honoring. God expected it of him, but his little brother, Abel, led the way in honoring God with the fat portions and the firstborn. So consequently, God rejected his offering. Rejected. Who's been rejected here? Who knows what rejection feels like? A lot of people do, right? It's not a nice feeling. If you've ever been rejected, then you will understand Cain's frustration. Cain thought he had done a good thing. He had worked hard and he didn't keep everything to himself. He gave it to God. Then God turns around and rejects his offering. This would have been confusing. I don't know if you've ever, you know, set your heart to something, decided you're going to give something to someone, you think it's the best, and then they reject it. That's what happened to Cain. So Cain got angry. And it says he was downcast. It means his mood changed. He was depressed. He was dejected. He was discouraged. These feelings were understandable. However, what happened next was misdirected. It was misdirected. Although he felt rejected by God, his resentment and jealousy were misdirected towards his brother. Because this whole experience would have left Cain with this legacy of pain, legacy of rejection, of jealousy, and a murderous spirit. So sibling rivalry is real, and it's real among the children of God, and it's poisonous to the soul. James 4 verse 2 says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Cain killed his brother, and his issue remains unresolved because his issue was never with Abel. His issue was with God. God is the one who rejected him. You see, you may not have killed someone like Cain, but the question is about the condition of your heart towards your brothers and sisters. Are you harboring thoughts of resentment? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all else. But the thing is, God has something to say about our misdirected anger. And that thing is what I've called the great rebuke. The great rebuke. In verse 6, it says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? You see, Cain felt justified in his anger. After all, he had sacrificed some business for God's sake. And I mean for God's sake. And God goes on to say, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. There's some things that you and I may be angry about and feel justified to be angry about, but God says you have no right to be holding on to that anger. And it says if you keep that up, you're opening up doors for sin to come in. And that's exactly what happened because Cain did not heed the warning. Sin is crouching at your door. What door? The door of your heart. You know, when I looked up the meaning of crouching, they described it, and it was this action of, they said something about getting your knees down. But it also said that the part of the definition was making sure that you are not detected. And so sin is crouching at the door of your heart, making sure it is not detected. That's why we say the heart is deceitful above all else. There's some things that are knocking at the door of your heart. Sin is wanting to come in, but you will not detect it. Cain did not heed the warning. I brought these to demonstrate. I don't know how it's going to work. I only have two hands, so I needed that one as well. Let's just pretend I'm holding that. There are people walking around with bones of dead people. Bones of dead people. People that are no longer here in the natural, but the memories live on. Their hurts live on. We carry corpses into every place we walk into because we feel that we have every right because of what they did. But sin is crouching at the door of your heart. And so we do not heal from the unresolved because we continue to carry what we shouldn't. Bones of dead people. And the problem with bones of dead people is that as you carry them, every now and then, they're going to kind of poke you. They're poking you. You're walking around with them because you think you have right, every right. They hurt me and I'm not letting go. They made me angry and I'm not letting go. But can you see how painful? I'm actually in pain right now because my fingers are stuck under there. These pins are poking me. But that's exactly how some of us live our lives. Every day we walk around carrying the bones of dead people because we believe we have every right. Despite killing his brother, the issue remained unresolved for Cain. Because he thought he was solving a problem. He thought the brother was the problem. So you eliminate. But that was the beginning of the end for him. However, eventually, Cain recognized the evil of his heart. He recognized what he had done and he felt remorseful. He felt guilty. He felt shame. He felt rejected. You see, I imagine he felt rejected twice. First, he got rejected because of what he offered not being accepted. And then he feels rejected again because God is like, what have you done? And he gets banished. He felt lost and he was fearful for his life. He said, people are going to kill me. But I love God's response. Not so. Instead of telling Cain, I told you so. I told you sin was crouching at your door. Instead, this is what God says in verse 13. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land and I'll be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Not so. Instead of telling him, I told you so, he makes Cain a promise. that no one would touch him. No one would harm him. Not on my watch. That's what God said. Paraphrase. And I really feel that we have to thank God for his grace. Because this is the grace of God. The grace of God is throughout the Bible. A few chapters before this, we see that Adam and Eve get kicked out after sinning against God. But guess what he does? He goes kill some animals to make sure that they are clothed so he can maintain their dignity. That's the grace of God. He does the same thing here. This man has just murdered his brother. And he says to him, nobody's going to touch you. Don't be afraid. When you don't understand the grace of God, you see him as there to punish and reject. And you don't see the heart of the Father. But I really believe that God is constantly wanting us to see that heart of the Father. So I'm just going to get us to just stand up. Because I believe that God wants to work in our hearts. Richard, if I could have some of your magic. Thank you. You know, it's easy to hear a message, walk out of here and say, oh, that was nice. But my prayer is that we would bring our hearts before the Lord. That we would see that indeed our hearts are deceitful above all else. And I just want to pray right now with every eye closed that God would show you where you need a work done. Because I believe there's some people here who have to pray a prayer of repentance. Repentance against a murderous spirit. You know, some people hate other people. That's a murderous spirit. And it's there for a reason. You weren't born like that, but it's there. And so I pray right now that God would expose if that is you. And some people have a spirit of jealousy, just like Cain did. And it plagues you. You don't like it. Your spirit hates it, but your flesh indulges it. And so I just want people to come. If you need that prayer of repentance, we need to pray that prayer of repentance. And then I also want to pray for a release of guilt. Because some people are carrying guilt. They're carrying backpacks full of bricks, of guilt and shame because of relationships that have not worked out. And so we want you to get released of that guilt because it doesn't belong there. And then finally, I just want to pray that we would receive the grace of God, that you would get a revelation of the heart of the Father who wants to protect you against that fear of death. Some people have a fear of death. Cain had a fear that he was going to be killed because of what he had done. I really believe some people here, there's some things that you have done and you're just always looking over your shoulder. You're just waiting for the day you will be exposed. You're waiting for the day that you will be found out. But the word of the Lord to you this morning is not so. Nobody will touch you. And so if that is you, if any of those issues apply to you, please come up so we can pray. It's not about the person that's next to you. It's about business between you and God. Cain thought his issue was his brother and he eliminated him. There's some people here that you've eliminated relationships because you think they are the issue. But they're not the issue. Your issue is with God. Your business is with God. And so if you feel that you need to do that business with God, I just encourage you to come. With every hand raised up to the Lord, and with every eye closed, I just want to pray. Father, I just pray that you would just show us the condition of our hearts. Show us the dead man's bones that we're carrying. Your word said, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Just take the time to do your business with God. Father, I just pray against the spirit of guilt and against the spirit of shame. I pray, Father, that those who need to turn away from their wicked ways, that you would expose the condition of their hearts. I pray, Father, for those people who have guilt for the things that they have done and they have not come to you, Lord. I pray that you would show them. I pray, Father, for those people who don't fully appreciate the grace of God, that God would say to you, not so. That God would say to you, not on my watch. That God would say to you, nobody's going to touch you because he protects you. And lastly, I just like to invite people who need prayer for healing. Because there's been a lot going on around health. If you have a prayer need for healing, whether physical or emotional or otherwise, if you just want to come,